This is Escalation, a Glee Bandom crossover fic featuring members of My Chemical Romance and The Used, written by Gala Apples and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13, contains the pairing Gerard Frank with mentions of Gerard Burt and Burt Quinn. Also, some bullying and some homophobic language. Author's Notes. So this is written as though Gerard Way, circa Project Rev, was invited into New Directions rather than Sunshine Corazon in the first episode of Season 2. I can only imagine Gerard would not be impressed with Karofsky and Azimio, and so I wrote that. Halfway through Mr. Shu's opener about the next song they're going to sing, the newest member of Glee raises his hand. Kurt's nose wrinkles. He could almost see the waves of odor coming from the grungy kid, even sitting several chairs down with Mercedes. He's not exactly sure how Finn managed to recruit him, but Kurt doesn't think it's too much to ask that the members of Glee don't smell bad. Surely there must be students willing to join to add strength to the background vocals that actually follow hygiene practices. Yes, Gerard? He drops his hand, running it through his black shag before it settles back into his lap. Frankly, Kurt's surprised his fingers don't get stuck. I was wondering what you do for the stage show. Well, we have matching costumes, and we generally try to create a dance routine. Mike and Brittany are both really good at... Gerard interrupts. Okay, but the actual show. Do you have painted backdrops or characterizations you're fulfilling? Sometimes some artistic integrity can make all the difference. Like, at the last talent show, me and Frankie did I Love Hardcore Boys, I Love Boys Hardcore, and made out a bit. Well, before the fascist principal pulled us off stage saying no sexual shit at school. Excuse me, I'm pretty fucking sure the group of girls before us dancing to a bleeped out sexy bitch by Akon were being sexual. But, you're gay? Tina asks. Kurt doesn't know why half the class is looking at him. It's not as though he's about to maul their newest member. Gerard looks like he hasn't washed in days, and Kurt's positive he was wearing the same shirt yesterday. Gerard shrugs. You don't need to be gay to make out with a guy. Everyone does it. Puck replies quickly. No, they fucking don't, dude. Gerard shrugs again. Everyone I know does. A lot of girlfriends like it, and it's fun. Besides, continuum of sexuality, man. Haven't you ever heard of Kinsey? No one is completely straight or completely gay. And even if you think you won't enjoy it, it's fun to do it just to piss people off. I've been here like 3 days, and I've heard a ton of stories about you, Puck. You must understand how awesome it is to piss people off. In certain crowds, it's better than saying their mom's a fat cowfucker. Huh. Kurt stares. No way has some greasy new kid gotten Noah Puckerman to accept gay people. Mr. Schuster calls everyone's attention back to the front of the class with, Focus, guys. Gerard, I'm sorry, but Sue will never allow us to... Kurt tunes out as Mr. Schuster once again blames his cheerleading coach for every problem in the world. He wouldn't be surprised if Shu tries to institute some kind of swear jar. Gerard's dropping bombs all over the place, which will only encourage Puck and Santana. At least he's not the only one to think Gerard's insane. When practice is over, Gerard is the first out of the room, muttering at the phone in his hands about Mikey being a lazy fucker while texting something rapidly. Mr. Shu leaves too, but the original 11 stay. The first time he tells Azimio that he's not totally straight because you can't be, he's going to get murdered, Finn states. No one disagrees. We can't afford for him to be murdered. He's got a good voice and we need 12 members for sectionals. Rachel only likes Gerard because he's male and thus can't steal her spotlight. Still, Kurt has to agree. Being gross doesn't stop him from having a good voice. Can you talk to him? Artie asks. Having one-on-one time with Gerard Way really does not fit in Kurt's agenda. I am not the magic gay problem solver. You think you moved from Canada? Or Europe? I hear they like gays and hookers. Does that mean he won't make out with me? Santana snorts at Brittany's question. You heard him. Not everyone's completely anything. He'll be all over you. The whole of Glee is pretty much expecting a problem, especially after spokesman Finn utterly fails at explaining why at McKinley you don't make out while singing about liking hardcore boys the next morning. When it happens, Kurt's in the hall to witness it. Karofsky calls someone a faggot, and Gerard, who apparently has no idea what self-preservation is, walks up to him and yells at him that he's being homophobic. Which is kind of pathetic, really, because obviously. What are you going to do about it, fag? This, dickhole. Without any other warning, Gerard punches Karofsky in the face. For a few seconds, it's the most gorgeous thing he has ever seen. Which is saying a lot. Kurt spends a lot of his free time checking out fashion designers' websites. Then the football team swarms and shoves Gerard outside. Kurt follows, far back enough that they don't make it a two-for-one deal. The tossing of the fag into the dumpster is entirely inevitable, but Kurt still winces slightly as he hears Gerard's body hit the plastic bags with a squish crunch. Once the jocks have retreated back to their natural habitat, Kurt tries to help Gerard climb out. Normally, he'd wait until his fellow Glee member was out of the dumpster to help them clean up, not wanting to get any nearer to the filth than he had to. This is different, though. It's Gerard's first time, and he doesn't look like the nimble type. He probably doesn't know where to put his feet to properly lever himself out. His offer gets rebuffed. Gerard tells him he can wait a minute, he has something more important first. From inside the dumpster, he calls someone. Most sentences only partially finished, and spoken fast enough that Kurt doesn't really know what he's talking about. It's only after Gerard hangs up that he flips himself out of the giant garbage receptacle in what has to be the most awkward and painful attempt that Kurt's ever seen. He smells like oily pizza and black bananas, and Kurt carefully moves upwind. Gerard doesn't seem to notice. When Gerard asks if he wants to skip next period, Kurt agrees out of some combination of queer solidarity, Glee solidarity, and hating the class he has the period before lunch. Missing geography can only be a positive in his book. Even if it's to hang out with someone with Gerard's absolute lack of style. 45 minutes later, a car pulls into the school parking lot. Kurt normally wouldn't notice, except the van is completely covered in the white residue of worn-away bumper stickers. It stops in front of them, Kurt sitting where he can't smell Gerard's cigarette. Out of the driver's seat pops a short guy, arms covered in tattoos. Unless Kurt's guessing the wrong age, each needle prick of color is definitely illegal. Gerard grins, showing off his creepy mini shark teeth as the short guy tells him he smells like ass. Fuck off, Frank. I was in a motherfucking dumpster. Right, because I'm sure you smelled like roses this morning. The van giggles. Or at least someone in the back of it does. This is gonna be fun, man. Gerard turns to walk back into McKinley, Frank sprinting the first few steps to catch up with him. Kurt looks at the van, waiting for the doubled back doors to open and Gerard's other friends to climb out. When they stay closed, Kurt follows both of them. Better someone he sort of knows than van-dwelling strangers. Besides, it's lunch. If he can find Mercedes and Artie in the mass of students, He can leave Gerard altogether. By the time he's in the cafeteria, Gerard and Frank are dangerously close to the jock table. He's not sure how they don't see it, considering almost every meathead is wearing his letter jacket. Kurt's about to tell them to sit somewhere else if they value their life, when they come to a dead halt, Frank slightly behind Gerard. Frank's hands land just above the front pockets on Gerard's jeans, fingers slipping to move under the hem of his faded gamer shirt. Gerard twists a bit, neck arching until Frank can lean forward and kiss him. The longer it lasts, the less of a kiss it becomes. The addition of Frank pulling Gerard tight to his hips, that anyone who cared to look could see Gerard's tongue between Frank's open lips, the hand that snakes back to Frank's ass in a lower repetition of Gerard's craned neck. It all adds up to them making out. There's no question that it's hot. On one hand, neither are Kurt's type, too grimy and rough, obvious examples of the hardcore boys they sang about. On the other, it's two teenage boys making out. Kurt's never seen men making out in real life. At some point, queer as folk stops counting. He can't look away, recording every moment for possible use later in the shower. The problem is, he's not alone. Most of the cafeteria is looking. And while the football players are currently in a stasis of shocked silence, any moment they're going to snap out of it. While he appreciates the show, Kurt would really have liked warning that provoking jocks was the next event about to occur. He probably wouldn't have followed the gleek and stranger inside. In every situation, there's a time to make a pithy comment and a time to flee. This situation is vastly the latter. Before Kurt can do as much as turn, Frank separates from Gerard to half-monkey climb onto the jock table. He plants his hands firmly so he doesn't topple off, and he plants his lips on Azimio's. If Kurt believed in a god, he'd start praying now that they make it out alive. Frank scrambles down, shoving Gerard in front of him as they take off. Half the football team gets up to tear after them, Azimio and Karofsky in the lead. Kurt has no choice but to follow. The two grungy boys will need to have a witness when they charge the jocks with assault. He'd almost be grateful if that mouth breather Jacob with his camera showed up. Visual recording would be better than his testimony. They're almost at the car. If they can just cram into the front seat, they can drive away and not worry about retribution until later. Kurt's including himself in that. It's a spectacularly bad idea to be the only gay boy left in the school with a bunch of furious jocks. He can figure out how to get back to his own car later. A few feet away, Frank and Gerard stop. Kurt barely restrains himself from screaming at them to get in the car! The pause gives the members of the team time to catch up, and Kurt knows he's going to die. That's when Frank shouts out, "Hey, Bob!" The double doors on the back of the van pop open with a screech of metal. Not just Bob. A quick headcount proves 6 people pile out. Each one is holding a baseball bat, except for a tall kid with glasses and an excellent pair of boots that do not fit with the disgusting shirt and ratty jeans he's wearing. Tall guy momentarily has 2, before attempting to toss one to Frank. It's a horrible throw, but Frank scurries forward and catches it before it hits the pavement. The shortest one, long black hair tangled over the back of his black hoodie, holds up his bat, putting it into perfect position at his shoulder. Then another extremely illegally tattooed teenager, this one with huge gauges in his ears compared to Frank's smaller ones, puts a hand on short guy's bat. "We said talking first." All of it is enough to stop the jocks where they stand. Kurt can't blame them. He's essentially frozen, too. Gerard, on the other hand, seems quite happy as he explains. These are my friends. Well, I have a few more. Dan says he's sorry he can't be here. He can't skip the period after lunch anymore. He's already missed 8 times. In 3 weeks? Lunch at Jeffa's gets distracting, the blonde one on the other side of short guy says with a shrug, which makes Gage's smile. Gerard continues. They don't quite add up to a football team, but it's enough to fuck your shit up, the one with long and curly Metallica hair suggests. He has a surprisingly high voice, considering his look. So how about you fucking stop with the beating up shit? It's said pleasantly enough, but the football team just stares at Gerard and the guys backing him. It's actually rather satisfying to see the popular kids so thrown off. Or next time we'll bring something more permanent than bats. If Frank means what Kurt thinks he means, well, honestly, he wouldn't be all that surprised. He looks like a thug, albeit a miniature one. It's definitely illegal for him to have the tattoos he does. He could probably get drugs or hookers or a gun from the same place that would tattoo a minor. Fucking freaks, Kurofsky spits out. Quinn, he called me a freak. Can I break his kneecap? No scholarship for you, motherfucker, short guy cackles. Dude, we call you a freak like 10 times a day. Chill out. Kurt has no doubts that short guy really would break someone's kneecap. He looks sketchy as hell, worse than Frank or Gage's or the supplier of Frank's baseball bat with the gorgeous boots. Doesn't seem like Azimio has any doubts either. He's the first to turn around and start walking back inside. There's not even a parting shot of another name or slur, like they're worried that might be the last straw that makes short guy snap. We've got time for lunch before we gotta go back. 6th period is a lab for me and Jeffa, Metallica explains. Awesome. What, you've been pining for us? You live with Mikey, you see us at least a few times a week. Yeah, but this school sucks balls, Gerard explains to the blonde one. Then he turns to Kurt. You want to crawl in the van and eat with us? Guys, this is Kurt. The shit I told you about. Kurt's been putting up with it every fucking day. Isn't that fucked? Wait, those cunts did that to you too? Kurt stares at short guy. How can he sound so shocked about high school bullying? If you lure one of them back out here, I'll fuck him up. I just don't want to do it with teachers around. I'll get arrested or some shit. I'm gonna go find Mercedes and Artie and eat with them, actually. Gerard shrugs, saying he'll see him later at practice, as Frank says something about it being nice to meet him. Kurt heads for the cafeteria. Better to say now rather than later, if the jock's fear of bodily harm extends to him. By the end of the day, everyone's heard about Gerard Way almost pulling a Columbine in the parking lot. Well, all the students. It's not the sort of thing teachers find out about. Willful ignorance is what makes McKinley run. Kurt's the only one who knows the truth of the situation. Being a witness to that makes him more curious about the new student. He can only hold back so long before leaning over and asking, "Was that how you got kicked out of your old school? An insane gay rights protest?" "No, my boyfriend and I got caught with a joint. Well, it was his, but whatever. I knew shit was about to go down, so I said it was mine. Bert would probably have dropped out of school rather than trying it without Quinn. It was easier if I left. There was like a week of school left, so they let me take my exams and told me not to come back the next year." Which one was Bert? It's a solid assumption that Bert was in the gathering at lunch. "Shorter, long black hair, good for grabbing," Gerard says, the last, with a dirty smirk on his face. "The guy who wanted to beat everyone." "The psychopath," is unsaid, but Gerard hears it anyway. He's easier to take stoned, either him or whoever he's with. It's why Quinn's better for him. I'm not as into it as they are. Besides, I sort of fell in love with this girl over the summer, but I haven't seen her since July, and Mikey said he saw her with Jimmy and Chantal, so I don't know. Maybe I'll find some guy or girl here. Kurt feels almost bad for bursting his bubble.
I'm the only out guy here.
For now, Gerard answers.
Kurt's not so sure he's right.
Yeah, he's got the football team convinced he and his creepy friends will kill everyone if they don't shut up. That doesn't mean McKinley's suddenly going to be a gay utopia. But Mr. Schuster is talking about what Kurt fears is another Journey song, and that's a far more important intervention than trying to show Gerard the realities of high school. Gerard will figure it out on his own, possibly bringing his friends back if he sees fit.
Mr. Shu will never figure out that no one under 30 likes Journey.
The end.